All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, the 18th chapter. We're pausing from our normal study, and we're going to focus on what the Lord might have for us today from His Gospel. The 19th chapter is actually where we get into the reality of the triumphant entry. But this happened right before, while Jesus is on his journey going to Jerusalem. So we're going to focus on verses 35 through 43. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43. Now, I just kind of want to help you to understand, why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? It's not just a time where little kids get to wave palm branches or people get to cry Hosanna. I need you to understand what was going on in their life at the moment. So we're talking about at that time Israel, Judea, Galilee. They're under Roman oppression. And actually, to be honest with you, for several hundred years after the fall of Babylon, the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon, they really have lived in oppression to and at the whim of whoever it was that was over them. It was pretty oppressive. They were wanting freedom. They were wanting the Messiah to show up to bring them freedom. And so fulfillment of prophecy in Zechariah, Jesus comes, of course, on a colt and a foal. And that was foretold in the scripture, that the Messiah would come that way. And so the people would know that. They would know what the prophets were saying. And so those who were the followers of Jesus and those who were caught up in who he was would be, taking off their jackets and laying down palm branches for him to ride on and crying, "Blessed is he who would come in the name of the Lord." Because in their mind, the Messiah was coming and the Messiah was going to set things right. So Palm Sunday is set in a time of people wanting relief. Do you understand what I'm saying? You ever wanted relief? You ever been in a difficult struggle that you don't know how you're going to get out of it, but all you can think about is, I just want relief? So this is the setting. So I thought, with that being the setting, I needed to bring to you a message that talks about that, how we are to do and deal with our reality. Now, what do you mean our reality? Well, I got two thoughts I want to give you, okay? This one is a fact. Difficulties, struggles, and problems are a part of our lives. I think you realize that, right? Okay? Difficulties, struggles, and problems are a part of our lives, period. At some point in your life, you learned that. For me, I remember, I think I might have been, I have firm memories burned into my brain, and I'll tell you why it's burned here in a moment, of being in Greenville, North Carolina, my mom living in a trailer there. My dad was in Vietnam, so this would be 1968, 1969. And back then, I don't think most people had a lot of gas grills. They had charcoal grills. And you guys know about charcoal grills. You got to stack them up and try to get them going. You might use a whole container of lighter fluid to get it going, but you got it going. And then they burn down. And they burn down to what? Just what seems like white powder, right? Ash. Well, that's what happened with this grill outside the trailer. And little George, who didn't know any better but was curious, saw the white powder. And he put his hand into the grill, not knowing that beneath the white powder were little orange things. And I burned my hand. Now, do you understand why I remember that? Okay. Like, I don't remember much from that age, but I do remember that. Okay. And so I learned real quick about pain. Pain. It's a part of our life. And let's be honest, here I am today. I'm 58. Painful things keep happening, right? That's just reality, okay? reality. Now, the second point I want to make is, though, is that there's a choice we have to make about the painful things. We have to choose between fatalism and faith. Fatalism and faith. We just have to choose. You have to decide how you're going to approach the difficult things. For some of us, we get to the point where so many things happen all the time, we just get cynical. Can I use that word? We just become cynical and we just assume that we are totally messed up, life's never going to get better, and that's all we can assume is that, oh yeah, sure, that would happen too. You know what I'm saying? That's a fatalism. Or we can choose to have faith. Faith in what, George? Can't be in myself, because this is the whole reason why all this stuff is happening, is because of me. No, faith in God. Now, the problem is, though, we struggle with that one too. You know what I'm saying? Because we would say, well, you know, Lord, why didn't you keep me from putting my hand in the grill? We say things like that, right? Why did you allow that guy to do that, hit me like that, and now I've got an insurance mess that I got to clean up now? You know, because they won't pay what I think the car's worth. They're paying me what they think it's worth, and now I'm shortfall. I was driving a nice car, and now I'm driving a beater because that's all I can afford. And we get cynical towards God. We have to make a choice. And that's why I think today's story is going to help us with that. Okay? Because I'm going to talk about a guy by the name of Bartimaeus. You know who Bartimaeus is? Bartimaeus was a blind man. And he's just a few verses here, verse 35 to 43. But it tells us a lot about him and about the Lord. And I'm hoping that it will tell us something. Okay? So let's look at this together. Here's what's happening. Okay, so verse 35, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's already told his disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die. He's already said that a few times. Of course, Peter, in his famous thing, said, no, this will never happen to you. And of course, Jesus says to him, get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking about. So he's on his way. So here he is. So as he drew near to Jericho, which, by the way, is about 12 miles outside of Jerusalem. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing the crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. All right, folks, we're going to look at his life here. And we're going to talk about this choice we have to make. And we're going to talk about faith's determination. I mean, this guy had the opportunity, and he was determined to see God do something, to see Jesus do something. So let's talk about this. We're going to look, first of all, at the response. We're going to see the response of Bartimaeus. We're going to see the choice that he had to make. He's got to make a choice now. And then we're going to see the Lord. Okay, so let's talk about the response. First of all, verse 35 to 38, there was a decision to reach out to the Lord. All right, so I want you to picture this. So this is Bartimaeus. He's blind. Who knows why he's blind? Maybe he didn't say he was born from birth, but at some point he lost his sight. And in that culture, they didn't have social systems to take care of blind people. They didn't have ADA laws and everything or whatever were society adjusted to help them. He was basically on his own. And so he was reduced to someone bringing him and setting him in the same place probably every day, right along the road, begging for what? Money or something. And that was his lot in life. There was, to be honest with you, at that point in his life, yes, Jesus is healing people of blindness, but up until that point, someone being healed of blindness, that possibility didn't exist in people's minds. In fact, I'm going to tell you, if you look through the Old Testament, you're not going to find any instance of anyone ever being healed of blindness. The only time that it is even referred to is in a prophecy concerning that when the Messiah comes, he will heal the blind. So in their Jewish mindset, the option of somebody healing him, that's not entering into, that's not a part of his everyday experience. He's living with, well, let's say a fatalism, where there's no other option. He just has to beg. Well, his ears work. And guess what? He hears something going on. A crowd. Because here comes Jesus, right? And he's asking, what's going on? And the reply is, the scripture tells us, is they say Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So even though he's been put in the same place every day, the chances are he has heard about Jesus. Because the reports of Jesus have gone out. And so he's heard that this Jesus can heal. He's heard that this Jesus can do wonderful, miraculous things. And so he makes a decision. He makes a decision to reach out to Jesus. Now, first of all, he can't see. He can't see where Jesus is. So what does he do? He yells, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. He's trying to get the attention of Jesus. That, my friends, is a response of faith because he believes if anyone's going to do something about his situation, it's this Jesus. And so he responds. Now, the problem is, here's the problem, okay, and you know how this is. People and circumstances will rise up to discourage you from doing this. And guess what? As soon as he starts doing that, what do people say to him? Be quiet. He ain't got time for you. He's a busy man. Don't you know where he's headed? He's headed to Jerusalem. Maybe after he gets everything taken care of there, then he'll deal with you. But be quiet. You know, as I was reading that, I thought, isn't that life? Isn't that life? Here you are, you're going through some sort of crisis. You realize that the only hope you have is Jesus, is God showing up. And you're doing what you can. You're praying. You're talking with him. It's on your heart. You're sharing with others to pray with you. And then guess what? Circumstances seem great. And then people. And sometimes, can I be honest with you? Sometimes it's Christian people. Will discourage you. Well, you know, you got to do a little bit more than pray there, George. Ever had somebody tell you that? It's going to require you to do something. And what's this guy supposed to do? He's blind. First of all, there's nobody going around that's a blind healer, do you understand, except Jesus. And so people and circumstances will rise up to discourage you from reaching out to the Lord. You know that. Because we always wrestle with that. We know that we need to go to him with our problem, but then we have these thoughts enter our mind. Well, you know, yeah, you should pray, but have you tried this? Or maybe you should do this, and whatever. But I want you to see something here, is that Bartimaeus had to make a choice. He had to make a choice. So look with me at verse 39. I think it's interesting. He says this, and those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, here's the choice I want you to see. First thing I want you to see is just a thought that occurred to me. You can decide to give into the pressure and stop seeking the Lord. You can decide to give into the pressure, give into the circumstances, give into the discouragement that people are telling you, and quit seeking the Lord. And let's be honest, I've done it, you've done it. Some of us have quit praying about stuff because he didn't answer. What do you mean he didn't answer? He didn't answer. Well, are you sure? Because maybe it wasn't in your timeline. So I was just reminded of this week. You know, Sue Warwick is our treasurer, and she and Sam are away today. And we were talking about something, and we're talking about different things that are happening with the church and opportunities that were happening. And she looked at me and said, God answered our prayer. And I'm like, what prayer? And she's like, well, don't you remember 15 years ago, we prayed in our prayer meeting that God would do this, and he is. And I thought, you're right. But I just didn't think he would take 15 years. Did you see what I'm saying? In fact, I was kind of, after she left, she got done doing whatever she needed to do with the finances, she left, I'm sitting in my office, I'm sitting there rebuked saying, Lord, I quit praying about that 14 and a half years ago. See, you have to decide what you're going to do. And so our tendency is what? To just give in to the pressure and stop seeking the Lord because he didn't answer. But listen, Bartimaeus, that was different. You know what I'm saying? Because he said, or you can press on even more as you seek a response from the Lord. That's what he did. People are telling him, be quiet. And he's like, he's screaming even louder. Now, why does he do that? Because he knows that maybe God would be merciful because he's the only one who can answer. Put yourself in his shoes. What would you do? Reminded me of a parable that Jesus gave actually in this very same chapter. In fact, I thought it was kind of interesting that he would give this parable and then later illustrate it with a guy by the name of Bartimaeus. So in verses 1 to 8, he gives the parable of the unjust judge. So let me read it to you. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him, saying, give me justice against my adversary. And while he refused, but afterwards, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? This is the issue, folks. You got a choice to make. Do we allow the circumstances, the situation, the problem, even other Christians who might, quote, encourage you but discourage you, have you to give up? Or are you going to keep seeking after him? Which is what I want you to see here in the last part now, and that's the Lord. And this is what is so wonderful, okay? Look with me, verses 40 to 43. I just got to read it to you again. And Jesus stopped. Look, notice that. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? What a question. And he said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Two final things I want you to see here. And this is the first one, and you need to mark this down, underline it, star it, but you need to realize this. The Lord is willing to respond. You know what? I'm just going to be honest with you, folks. We've got screwed up visions of God. What do you mean, George? Think about how you view God. Think about when stuff doesn't go your way. What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Why are you doing this to me, God? Where are you? What did I do? Are you making me pay? Where did that come from? It comes from your heart. It just didn't come out of your mouth out of nowhere. It comes from your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it came out of your heart. Why? It's because inside of you, there's a part of you that doubts, that questions. And I'm trying to tell you that when it comes to the Lord, you need to change your view of Him. You need to change your understanding of Him. The Lord is willing to respond to you. He loves you. He cares for you. That doesn't mean He gives you everything you want. Don't take it that way. But what I'm saying to you is that the Lord is willing to hear you. He's giving you attention. Now, He may not respond the way you want Him to respond. By the way, folks, He doesn't always respond the way I want Him to respond in my life. And I've learned through the years that that is good. But the fact is that He heard me. Let me give you an illustration, okay? I've told you this before. This thought just occurred to me. So we're in Angus, Ontario, pastoring there. And I have journals where I go through periods where I write out my prayers, and I can go back to my journals from that time a month before we left there. And I'm praying to the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom with this church. Let this church be everything you want. Help me to guide this church. Give me wisdom. Lord, bring a solution to whatever the problem was. And those were my prayers. And that's what I trusted Him for. A month later, we were gone. A year and some months, we became the pastor here. And I'm still here, 23 years. Now, at that point, did I want God to do something and to work it out with that church and to do whatever? And yeah. Did He answer me? Yeah, but the answer was no. And the realization was He had something else for me. And it's actually ended up being a blessing for Lori and I. Did you understand what I'm saying? So the point is, He's willing to respond. Now let me back up. When I prayed those prayers, He gave me peace. Now, at that time, I thought peace meant, oh, He's going to work this out. No, He gave me peace, letting me know, I'm listening, I hear you, I'm with you. But He didn't work it out. But He had something else in mind. Listen, folks, first thing I want you to see with Jesus is he says, bring Him here. What do you want me to do? The Lord is willing to respond. Here's the second thing. The bottom line issue is faith and trust in the Lord. That's the bottom line issue with us. Get rid of your cynicism. Get rid of your fatalism. The bottom line issue is, do you trust Him? No matter how long it takes. No matter how long it takes, do you trust Him? And folks, we want instant. Do you know what I'm saying? Are you like me? When I used to go to McDonald's, I'm trying to stay away from there. I go through the drive-thru and put my order, and what do they say? pull over there. I get irritated by that because for some reason I think you should have my order ready. Why am I like that? Because I've been conditioned by the culture. You know, I can remember growing up, you order something from the Sears and Roebuck catalog and you hope it shows up in 3 months for Christmas. Now, I'm looking at my emails saying, oh, I ordered this order. It's supposed to show up. This just happened this week. It was supposed to show up on the 21st, but it got delayed in Colorado, and it didn't show up until the 22nd. And I'm mad because of 24 hours for something that I wasn't going to use until next week. So we get that way with God. We get that way with him, and we think, oh, Lord, I brought you this issue. Why aren't you doing something? Why haven't you taken care of it? Because his timing is different than my timing. I mean, think about it. Story after story, narrative after narrative. Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. 25-year wait, folks. Can you wait 25 years? The bottom line issue is faith and trust. And this is what he says. Look at what he says to Bartimaeus. He says, Jesus said, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. It was your trust in me. You're looking to me. You're doing, your faith has made you well. So the bottom line is faith and trust. You say, okay, George, what do we do with this? Okay, so here we are. We're at Palm Sunday. And like the folks who spread those branches and cried out, Hosanna, we can relate. We may not be living under Roman oppression, but there is oppression in our lives, right? Of some sort. And we want relief from the Lord. We want him to show up mightily and set things right. But can you trust him? Can you trust him? Those folks that morning who cried out, Hosanna, some of those folks would cry out, crucify him later. Why? Because what they thought he was going to do, he didn't do. And so they put him on a cross. So hold on. Let your faith be determined to trust him in spite of all else. And wait for him to respond. And even if the response isn't what you think it should be, trust him. That's what the issue of faith is. Trusting him. That's what you need to do with this. Let me pray for you.